Rim fiends burrowing into your ear hole. Freedom Fiends, an earwig into your brain of freedom, an earwig of freedom into your brain. This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting from somewhere. We're going to talk about the prairie later. You guys don't really, like, you've never been to the prairie, have you? Have you?
No. We have not.
All right. So we have a guest for the first segment. Freedom Fiends never do this. We're doing this. It's pretty cool. Are you there, Keith?
I am here, Michael.
Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
Not today.
All right. Cool. Keith is one of our advertisers. Keith is with Block It Pocket at blockitpocket.com, correct? Blockitpocket.com?
That is correct.
Yeah, and we don't generally take advertisers because we don't believe in most products. Most products are wrong, but we believe in Block It Pocket because it works, and I like it. It's a line of little things that you can put electronic devices in that look really spiffy and stylish and washable and fashionable that you and affordable that you can put your cell phones, computers, chromed robot turds of all kinds into, and then they just go off the network. You know, they don't phone home anymore. They don't tell the Borg where you are and what you're doing, and they actually work, which is easy to test. It's not even easy to test a lot of products these days. You have to just trust what they're saying, but the Block It Pocket's easy to test. I have one. You just stick a cell phone into it, call it from another phone, and it won't ring, which means that it is not receiving or transmitting radio waves into your brain and into Alpha Centauri. So, Keith, how did you get into this?
Well, it was kind of simple, actually. You know, I had a family business for about 25 years that was failing after, our economy was doing so well. And we needed to come up with some new ideas, and we're traditional small business owners. We believe in small business. It keeps this country going, basically. So, you know, we started brainstorming, and my cousin actually came across the product online because she herself was using one of these inferior products. And she said, hey, you know, let's give it a shot. So we just came up with a couple prototypes and did some test marketing in the local area. It went off really well, so just found a local small manufacturer and did some advertising and built a website, and here we are today, 3 years later.
Yeah, I like them. They feel like cloth, but they actually have some kind of metal fibers in them. Is it silver?
Yeah, and the Block It Pocket is actually a silver-infused nylon fabric.
That's very cool. And you have all sorts of different designs. I'm curious, what was the business you had before that went 404, went boobs up? What was that?
Just a local print shop.
Ah, printers, yeah. Is that one of the things that, why did that stop being viable? Was that a combination of governments and technology, like desktop printing, people could do it themselves?
Right, exactly. That was probably the primary one, but I mean, it just was a major, major slowdown at that period, and we wanted to get out of it. To be honest with you, it was becoming a little, you know, tiresome, you could say, and we were looking for something new anyway. So we were able to get out early enough that we didn't lose everything, you know.
So you're doing it smart. You still have your day job while starting another successful company, right? You're a welder?
Yeah, well, I own a shop. Yep.
Yep. Welding is one of those jobs that that it seems like it's recession-proof to me, is it?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate, with my client base especially, that we really haven't seen much of the fluctuation at all.
Yeah, I had a roommate that was a welder in San Francisco. We were all like purple-haired hipsters and stuff, getting off drugs and getting sober and getting cleaned up in the 90s and living in a house together. And, like, you know, we were all working in coffee shops and stuff like that. And we had this one roommate that, like, would go down to Hunter's Point, like, down to the docks and work as a welder every day. And we were like, man, that's manly and strange. And why does he always have more money than us? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty dependable trade, you know. There's a lot of variations of it, but generally speaking, yeah, you can usually find fair paying work.
Yep, things need welding. So, you wanted to talk a little. I like what you want to do with this interview. Most people, when they want to do an interview, want to talk a lot about their product, and you want to talk a little bit about your product, but you also want to talk about the death of the middle class. Was that the topic?
Yeah, death of the middle class, which in my view is the lack of entrepreneurship.
Well, it's hard to start a company. There's a lot against you, isn't there?
There is, but there are also a lot of workarounds.
Tell me about it. What works?
Well, you know, you don't typically need as much capital as people seem, you know, believe you do. You don't need to jump through quite as many hoops as people seem to believe you do. Of course, it depends on what product or service that you're planning on having. But I find that the more people I talk to that really, really want to start something, they have great ideas, and they're like deer in headlights. They think they have to, you know, go bow before the government, and they have to jump through a billion hoops and have $1 million and investors, and that's just not true in most cases.
Yeah.
You know, I guess, you know, I just want to encourage people, you know, to, you know, take that step, and it's really not as difficult as people think.
Yeah, I used to do physical labor mostly, and then I learned some computer trades and went into offices in the 90s and did basically secretary work, like executive assistant kind of work, and then worked toward being self-sufficient, but, you know, did what you're doing, had two jobs, had my own company job for like 8 years while still working a day job, and then finally got to the point where you know, I haven't worked for someone else in about 12 years, and it's very rewarding, but it's also very kind of scary sometimes because, you know, you don't have a check every 2 weeks or every week. You have, like, you know, tiny little checks that come in the mail. I call it mailbox money. And, you know, my dad always had jobs like that too. He always was self-employed and worked 80 hours a week, making what he would make 40 hours a week working for someone else. And, you know, he would always joke, but it was kind of serious. Like, he would say, well, I got to get back to work or I'm going to have to fire myself. You know, it takes a kind of discipline that a lot of people don't have. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, unfortunately, I would say that's true. It does require a lot of attention.
I mean, most people are like, oh, man, that must be great. Like, you know, if you don't feel like going to work or if you feel like going in late, you can go in late. You don't have to make up an excuse or tell anybody. And you're like, yep, that's absolutely true. But you do that too many days in a row, you will fail.
You do it hardly any days in a row, you'll fail.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you got to do something you love, too. What's that?
I was just going to say, please excuse my apparent lack of passion. This is not my usual time.
It's the middle of the night, isn't it?
It used to be. To be my glory time.
Yep. So do you, when you make a new product with Block It Pocket, do you, what kind of testing do you do? Do you have, like, devices that measure radio penetration?
Yeah, we have a few radio frequency meters and various gadgets that we test them with, but the best testers are the people.
You know, cool.
We put a new product together. We have a test market that we'll just distribute it out to and say, just do what you will. And we just gather results from that, basically, make modifications if need be.
And you actually sell like a really stylish, almost version of a tinfoil hat, don't you?
Yeah, the Block It hat.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a, you know, just a standard you know, hunting or hipster beanie hoodie kind of hat, but it has the fibers in it and blocks, right?
Yeah, that really wasn't our idea. We had several requests for people to make them, and the feedback we got from, not too many, but several people, that was really helping alleviate some of their issues. Some people are really sensitive to the frequencies, and
there's actually. Do you ever watch the TV show Better Call Saul?
I do not even own a television.
Okay, there's a TV show that a lot of people like on cable called Better Call Saul that has a character that is a very likable character who has an extreme sensitivity to electromagnetic pulses. And, mm-hmm. When the character was first introduced, a lot of people were like, oh, this is a made-up thing. And then everybody Googled it and were like, no, that's actually a thing. I mean, there are people, like this guy lives a block away from a large, power transformer, and it's too much for him. He's a high-end, millionaire attorney who can't even go into the office anymore. And is working from home in his mansion with the lights off by propane light because, he can't have a light bulb on. Yeah. He needs Block and Pocket, then.
Yeah, you need to make a house-size Block and Pocket for that guy.
Yeah. Well, he actually, he sort of makes one. At one point, he takes like a space blanket and sews it into the inside of a 3-piece suit and he can go out of the house.
Yeah, it's amazing, but there are some people that are that sensitive to it.
Yep, I'm more interested in the security, the privacy issues of it. I really don't like the idea that the government just tracks you everywhere you go, or that anybody can. People can spoof cell phone towers and pull your numbers right off the air. They do it all the time.
Oh yeah, that was my main motivator.
Yeah,
me personally. I mean, if I had my way, I wouldn't even own a cell phone, but, today you just kind of have to, but for me, that was one of the big benefits of it, is being able to move about freely and not worry about being tracked and traced and hacked and all the good stuff that happens today.
Yep. Well, Keith, it's been great having you on. People should go to blockitpocket.com and check it out.
Well, I appreciate your time.
You're listening to Worms and Beans.
You too.
And I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been using Block It Pocket, and I love it. Block It Pocket protects your cell phone, tablet, or laptop from remote tracking and data theft. I've tested it. It works. Put your cell phone inside, call from another phone, and the phone in the Block It Pocket won't ring because all signals in and out are blocked. Avoid calls and texts at the wrong moment. Keep your location private. Protect passports and credit cards. Water-resistant, hand-washable, and stylish in many designs. Go to blockitpocket.com. That's blockitpocket.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of stasism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Dan Green and Michael W. Dean?
I think yes.
Yes. So, Katie, are you missing work to be on here?
At this very moment, in a way, yes, but in a way, no.
Yeah? Tell me.
It's complicated.
Yeah?
So I managed to switch a shift, so I'm here.
All right. So can you Google something on the computer while we're talking?
Dan, make the TV into the
I may
computer.
Be able to Google things. I don't know, okay. But I'll try.
Google. He's never done it before.
Okay.
He can try.
Yeah. Okay, you go on this site called Google and search Casper, Wyoming, Prairie, and then search it on Google Images. And I want you to look at...
Is this where you live,
I want
Michael?
You to look at where I live. Because you say Intergalactic Prairie Studios, and I like how you put an SH in there, and there's no SH in there. Why does he do that? Do you do that?
What?
Dan does that. Yeah, Dan does that. Yeah.
For what?
Dan says Intergalactic Prairie Studios. He puts an SH in there.
Studios. I think in Scottish that kind of comes out.
Is this just racial abuse?
It's racial abuse. Did you make that up? That's funny. Did you make that up, Dan?
Yeah. Hold on.
Did I make up what?
Whenever I say anything about your cool accent,
well, he just likes to call oppression.
Stop racially abusing me, Barker.
Yeah, it's usually that damn Barker that does it.
Yeah. Whenever Dan asks me to like do anything, like I'll be in the kitchen, he'll be like, "Could you grab me this?" And I'll be like, "That's sexist. That's awful." Asking me to get you things.
You know, I've been
the first one to call oppression.
I've been looking at this this Twitter account. It's twitter.com/bravetheworld.com. This is some lady that's friend of MK Lord's, and she's so over the top. I really like her. I think I like her. I don't know. I'll just say go to twitter.com brave the world and check out some of her writings at bravetheworld.com. I like it too. The picture of her is she's a pretty lady, and I think she's holding most people probably don't even know what she's holding here. I think she's holding a .22 rifle, which is, you know, it's not your grandpa's battle rifle. It's like Billy's first rifle, which is kind of a cool rifle to have in your cool picture. We have a pretty blonde woman shooting a .22 in our movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, but I don't know. I think this woman's going to call me sexist if I even like talk about the fact that she's pretty, but she's just kind of a mind-blowing writer who kind of messes with the idea of feminism and makes fun of feminists and probably is a feminist in her own way, kind of like MK Lords and you, Katie. Although, you know,
I would say so.
The picture I'm going to have to use is, I don't know who made this, but somebody made a picture of a kid with sticky fingers, and it says, Katie Greenophobia, the fear of children.
I saw that, actually.
They are sticky and ask too many questions. Now, I love this picture and what it says at the bottom, but I don't know if it should really be Katie Greenophobia. It sounds like the fear of Katie Green to me.
Yeah, but I don't want people to be like scared of me.
Sometimes I have that.
Yeah,
I'm sure that there is already. I think there is probably already a fear of children. There's probably a phrase.
Yeah,
I'm,
but I'm not sticky. You're not really afraid of them. You just don't like them. So
no, I'm not afraid of. I'm not really afraid of them. They don't.
She just doesn't always appreciate their candor.
So
I'm not always in the mood to deal with them.
Why? Why?
So you just don't always appreciate their candor.
Why?
I don't appreciate their candor.
Why?
All the time.
Why?
It's just the poor manners.
Why? This why? Do that.
So, have you Google imaged Casper, Wyoming prairie yet?
Yes, it looks quite beautiful. Very, very stark. Quiet.
Very stark. So, scroll down this whole page and look at all this, and just get a grasp for. When I say Intergalactic Prairie Studios, like okay, if you were teleported to my backyard or my front yard, and you were hanging out with me drinking coffee with my oxygen tube, which I call the pet because it follows me around the house. You know, my wife and I are coming up on 10 years together this year, and I realize that not much has changed except that when we first got married, the pet was the nickname for the younger woman that would come over and have sex with both of us and be our little submissive and like fetch us things from the kitchen on the weekends. And now the pet, now that I've kind of like got that out of my system, the pet is my nickname for the oxygen tube that follows me around the house.
Oh, how things have changed in such a dramatic
but
way.
It sounds dramatic, but they really haven't, because I love her so much and we still get along great. And, you know, I'm really testing her on this, you know, through sickness and through health. I'm going to hold her to that. And she's doing well. She's doing well. All right. I would do it for her. All right. We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
That's just not even right. We should not be back. I refuse it. I refuse it. Yeah, dude. Freedom Fiends. Too busy talking to Do Talk Radio. So I'm sending you pictures of the majesty of Wyoming.
Yes.
We're going to talk about radon, too. I found out that, you know, I like to share my problems with people. And people have been playing the home game version of the Freedom Fiends know about my health issues. But there's a new thing that may have caused my health issues, but probably not. Radon in the basement. Google it, people. Radon. It's you guys probably don't have radon where you live. Radon tends to accumulate in the basements of houses of places where they mine uranium, and Wyoming is one of the main places they mine uranium. So yeah, there's basically radioactive gas in my basement, and we have to pay to have it abated because it causes lung cancer. It's the second most common cause of lung cancer after what's that stuff called? Smoking. Cigarettes.
Yeah. Smoking. So
yeah. Did you guys get the email I sent you?
Yeah.
Yes, we're looking at
We've got them off, actually.
Yeah. Okay. So that first view, if I walk out my door, so like if you were on my front porch, you'd feel like you were in any small town anywhere. I mean, it could be England, it could be Scotland, it could be, you know, Pennsylvania, it could be Georgia. But the difference about Wyoming is, okay, most places in the world, when you're in a small town, if you go outside the small town, there's another small town. And then over the next hill is another small town. Then there's a big town. Then there's another small town. And there's no, like, really empty space anywhere. That is not true in the mountain west of America. So look at this first picture I sent you. That's taken from, like, if I walk out my door, take a right, go walk 6 blocks up the hill, and then to the top of the hill where it starts going down. That's the view. And that's the view in, like, every direction up there. Look how empty that is. Nice. Isn't that mind-blowing?
Nice, though. That's like,
yeah.
I like space like that, though. That's,
yeah.
That looks nice.
Wyoming is mostly empty. So Wyoming, we determined, is 3 times the size of Ireland and 1/12 the population. And that's funny because I think of Wyoming as having big, Ireland is having big, wide open spaces, right?
I mean, yeah, there is a lot of kind of, there's a lot of countryside and stuff like that, but you got to remember, like, there's big cities there, and those cities are absolutely packed. It's the same as Scotland, you know. Scotland's much smaller than Wyoming as well, and Scotland's got like 5 million people in it.
Yeah, the biggest cities in Wyoming are Casper, where I live, and Cheyenne. They're both about 55,000 people, which is like a tiny town most places. Like, that's not even a suburb most places. Yeah, there's a lot of space here. And then what do you think of this other picture of these two bobcats? Did you see this?
Is that what they are?
No, that's beautiful. Now, is that near? Is that near where you are?
Yes, that is near, like, where I am.
Wow,
that's within.
At first, I was
10 miles.
Is that like Africa?
No, like, I know. It looks like the Serengeti.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's awesome though.
No, it's like 10 miles from here. I love this picture.
Is that a bobcat? Did you say?
Yes, it's they're kind of squishing under the boards of a fence, looking
is
at
that wolves like in the background. Like,
I don't know if those are coyotes or wolves. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, they're.
I think
awesome.
That they are.
I don't know.
I don't know, man. I mean, they don't really look like either to me. But I'm assuming coyotes are very common. Wolves are kind of rare, and wolves are heavily protected. And coyotes, literally, you can shoot year round without a license. What do you think of that? What do you think about the fact that, like, I mean, does that blow your mind in your country that where I live, I could go outside of town? You can't shoot a gun legally in town, but I can go outside of town a couple miles and then just, like, every coyote I see, I can shoot every single one. That's legal.
But do you feel like I understand for some people that's like
I don't
a hobby.
Want to.
For, Yeah, no, I know.
No, I look at these bobcats and I want to take them home.
Yeah. Yeah, like big kitties, you know?
Yeah.
But
they'd rip your face off, man.
Oh, they would. No, I have no doubt about
things,
that.
Yeah,
they do not love me the way that I love them. No. Yeah.
Like the closest we've got to like badgers here, you know?
Yeah.
You don't go anywhere near badgers.
Badger baiting.
You just leave them alone. You actually walk the other way if you really do see one, apparently.
Yeah.
I remember I had a friend who's coming back from a pub once and he saw a badger and he was like, oh, it's a badger. And everyone else was like, no, man. He was like, no, it's cool. It's cool. It's just a wee badger.
It's just a little
and then
badger.
The thing turned around and started running after them
and it started
chasing them down the street. So
Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. So go on.
Okay.
So run away from badgers. That's probably
if you see a badger, just run.
Yeah.
You know, Wyoming looks awesome. Glasgow, if anybody wants to Google image search that, you can. If you want, I guess.
Is it horrible?
We have some cool
stuff. It's not horrible.
Cool
it's the bigger city, but the less scenic one, you know.
We have cool things here.
Put it that way.
Yeah, it's a city, and I'm looking at it. It's a city in Europe. It looks like, you know, it's got castles and rivers and discotheques.
Really castles.
Well, churches. Here. Churches that look castle-y.
Oh, there's a lot of churches.
The University of Glasgow looks castle-y.
Oh, I love that university. That's a lovely part of Glasgow, the West End.
Yes. Is that where Alexander Graham Bell went and learned to make fiend phone?
I don't know.
I don't think
he went anywhere. I don't know. He was
So radon.
DIY man.
So you don't have radioactive gas in your basement? Man, you're missing out. You're not on oxygen.
So.
You're not on oxygen. You don't have an oxygen tube.
I'm missing it.
And no, you don't have radioactive gas in your basement. You are just so behind the times, you guys.
I know. Yeah. I'm looking at this radon stuff. It's pretty scary, actually.
Yeah, there's a public health thing for the UK about radon here, and I didn't even really know anything about it, to be honest.
So that we've sort of been reading through it, kind of glancing over it.
I love that you thought that this picture of my town was Africa. You know,
I saw like the bobcat. I thought, is that a cheetah? And I was like, are they like antelope?
Cheetah?
Yeah.
No, it's early in the morning, and they have
bison here, and wolves, and
oh, wow.
Yeah. But I really like these stacked cats, these stacked bobcats. Man, they're pretty awesome. But they're. Do you ever see Close Encounters of the Third Kind? That's filmed in Wyoming. What else is filmed in Wyoming? Brokeback Mountain.
I watched that recently.
Yeah, although there's a lot of beauty. Like where I live is kind of the stark beauty, like the moon with sagebrush, and then the northeastern side of the state where Yellowstone is like the jaw dropping green cascading mountains beauty. You know, and that's where the rich people have their, you know, that's where Dick Cheney has his ranch kind of thing.
Are you talking about Yellowstone National Park?
What did I say? Did I say Yellowstone?
Yellowstone.
Yes,
awesome. Right. Because that kind of clears that up for me.
Yeah. I've been my brain has been farting a lot lately. Like I listen to the Freedom Fiends back. I listen back because, you know, I make the media I want to hear. Like I only ever was in bands because I wanted to hear the music. If the band had already existed, I would have been their sound man or their roadie, probably their sound man. I wouldn't have, you know, had to start the band, but the band didn't exist. So I had to start it. That's how the Freedom Fiends are. So I listen to every episode and I was listening lately and I'm like, man, I say things wrong all the time. And I think it's because I've had this oxygen deprivation and I'm recovering from it. And I have like brain damage or something because it came on really suddenly, like quicker than getting old should make it come on. Like, the other day I was telling this great story about like how my band got kicked off Warner Brothers and, you know, the Jewish head of the company came down from his ivory tower. Boy, this sounds anti-Semitic. It's really not. Did you hear the story when I told it the other day? I don't know if you heard it, but my drummer was, we were like one of the first bands that had to have the parental advisory sticker on the record. And it was printed. It wasn't a sticker. It was like printed in the artwork on the CD. And in 1991 or 1990, I forget. And the drummer was so insulted that we had to put that on there. He felt it was Naziistic. So he wanted to put the edges of a swastika sticking out from behind the sticker. And we tried to talk him out of it. The manager tried to talk him out of it. The label tried to talk him out of it. He wouldn't budge. So they at least mocked it up in the art department so he could look at it. And then they thought if he looked at it, they could talk him out of it. And so they mocked it up. And apparently what happened was the guy who is the head of Warner Brothers, the entire company, happened to be strolling through the art department where he never goes. Like, that's below his pay grade. And he saw this swastika on a Warner Brothers record layout on some artist's desk there and said, who the hell are Bomb and why the hell are they on our label? And that's how we got dropped from Warner Brothers, like before we even, the record came out pretty much. It came out, but they just didn't promote it. That's how they dropped us. Was like, they didn't want to be accused of censorship, because there was around the time that Ice-T had his Cop Killer song. And and they were backing him, like, oh, we believe in free speech, like, because he made money and we didn't, you know, he had a track record and we didn't. So they were making a big stand for free speech. So they didn't want to, like, say they were dropping us. They didn't really drop us. They put the record out, but, like, never promoted it, you know, like store. It didn't even ship to stores, like, you know, it shipped to like one copy at every store in the country or something. And then they never put ads out, never made a video. So, but yeah, but when I told that story the other day, I listened back on it and I said, yeah. And the head of Warner Brothers here. And the thing I mentioned too, is that this guy's father, his parents were killed in the Holocaust by the Nazis. And he comes down and sees a swastika on a record on his company and said, you know, why is this band on our label? But when I told the story, I didn't say what he actually said, which is, who the hell are Bomb and why the hell are they on our label? He said, who the hell are Warner Brothers and why are they on our label? That's what I said. Like, I've been replacing words with the wrong word more and more and more. And you know what I realized? Like, that's why they have to disable the computer in 2001 A Space Odyssey. It starts making mistakes like that. Like, I'm sorry, Dan and Katie, it's I can't okay. allow you to do that. Yeah, like
we're not gonna pull the plug, Mike.
I'm gonna have to push you out. Like, I'm gonna have to push you out the airlock, like have you suffocate in space while I suck on the oxygen tube and laugh.
But I think that's totally not. Like, I don't know if it like how normal it is for you.
Oh, but you like old people.
Life, I do. But no, but like the whole thing
you
was
like me because I remind you of your great great grandfather.
I never knew that, man.
Okay.
I think that's a natural thing. I'm 29 and I do that. I replace words with words. I say to Dan things and he goes, do you mean this? I go, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what, well, you know. Do you know what I've always found like interesting? What I do is I always get the names of the pubs here wrong, but even though I get them wrong every time, Katie
knows
what I mean.
I still know what you mean.
you know how like the old like Glenn Beck and people, Rush Limbaugh, don't do that? Here's the secret. They pre-tape their shows, and when they do that, the producer fixes it. That's a dirty little secret about talk radio. We're live right now, though.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah. Oh, Glasgow's almost sea level, man. You're 39 meters. Are you near the ocean?
We're not that far away, really, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, not me, you know, man.
To get to
I'm a mile above sea level. I might have to move to lower ground for my lungs. We'll see. I'm hoping I can get a lung transplant, though. I really wish you could just buy lungs at Walmart. That's, you know, if it was Lip Perry, you could.
You should be able to.
I told Nick I'd give him $5,000 for one of his lungs if he could get another one of his young friends that doesn't do drugs like him to sell me their lung for $5,000. Yes. So for $10,000, I could get two young, strong lungs.
And I'm sure that the legalities of that are all above board.
Yeah, and the morality. It's like so much worse than child labor, man.
I'm taking your children's lungs.
You know, I've actually talked to Nick's parents. Like, Nick gets college or high school credit for being on The Fiends, and I've actually talked to his mother and father on the phone, and his principal, who is his father. Yeah, and there was no mention made of buying his organs.
Okay, yeah, just want to make that perfectly,
perfectly clear.
Nobody's buying any or trafficking any kind of human body parts.
Yeah,
we got out of that business years ago.
Out of that business, Dan, you're such a punk.
He got out of that a long time ago. He got out of that game. I think you should be able to sell, buy and sell any part of you want. Yeah. I would probably sell one of my kidneys.
Not me.
Well, why not? It's even like, you know, I know that sounds
obese,
weird, but
I don't think anybody wants
my
organs.
You're not morbidly obese. You got junk in the trunk. That's a good thing. That's like my wife.
I think medically I am, but thank you. Yeah. Dan, please continue.
No, I wouldn't say you're morbidly obese.
I want to move on from the morbidly obese. Right,
I'm like Tracy Morgan on 30 Rock, man. I see, like, you know, supermodels. And
I get that.
I see supermodels. And I'm like, too thin. Too thin, Liz Lemon. Yeah. So I think you should do a song, since you guys do music. I think you should do a song with Katie singing, "You'll Never Love Me the Way I'll Love You," but make it about a bobcat.
Okay.
Because you said that earlier.
On that note, about the music, I'm finding out very incredibly quickly that my idea about being in a band is incredibly romantic, when in fact it's quite monotonous. Having to go over things over and over and over again.
Oh,
till it's perfected.
So it's work.
So I'm just like, yeah, it's like actual work. Yeah. And I always thought being in a band would be cool, and I'd be like sitting there, and they'd be like, "Okay, we have a song," and I'd be like, "Awesome, just give me lyrics." But it's not happening that way.
So you don't feel that way about being a talk show host?
No, I like doing this because it's just I talk anyway.
Yeah. You said that. You said, like, you would just be, yeah, if you weren't on the radio in America, you would just be chewing on your husband's ear in your apartment.
Yeah, I'd just be saying things anyway. So.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just say things into a microphone. So.
Yeah, we don't have any show notes. So what do you think of Cameron Diaz? What's your prime minister's name? Is it Cameron Diaz?
Mrs. Cameron Diaz.
David Cameron.
David Cameron is our
well,
prime minister.
Well, it's election day, so he might not be prime minister. I'm removing myself
from this part of the conversation.
You know, there's this... I actually have a, like, local council member in England is, like, a follower of mine on Twitter. Isn't that bizarre?
All right. Oh,
this lady named Barbara Weed. Mm-hmm. And Barbara Weed... her kid, like, defooed because of Molyneux, and they wrote about in the UK Guardian.
Oh, yeah.
She became a big fan of the Freedom Fiends because we don't like Molyneux in no uncertain terms. And she's actually, like, chatted with me. I've talked with her, but it's so weird to me that I have, and she's a liberal. What do you call them? Leftist, the Labour Party?
A lefty.
Yeah. Is she Labour or is she Liberal Democrat? Yeah.
She's the Warwick District Councillor, Labour Party, working hard for the community of South Leamington. And Leamington. Is that like the people that march into the sea? Leamington?
Yeah, the Lemmings. The Lemmings do live there in Leamington. Yes. Everyone there is a known Lemming.
Yeah.
So, but, there you go.
So she's a district councillor. Yeah. Like, what's that equivalent to here? Like a state senator?
That's just Oh, no, no, much lower.
I don't know if that would count. Well, town council. It's kind of more like a city kind of thing.
Yeah, town probably, council.
Like park, like Parks and Rec. That
park
kind
ranger.
Of thing. Like,
ah, okay.
Yeah.
Even so, ranger. it's cool to me that like an English liberal politician likes me and listens to the Fiends.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah.
I should.
You shouldn't defoo.
I don't know if she's heard the Fiends since the Scots are on, but Brits hate Scots, don't they? Don't they look down at you
like we do look at Southerners?
Like Americans look at Southerners?
Some people take it seriously, but I don't really care.
We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends from an actual prairie. I'm in an actual prairie surrounded by bobcats that would eat your face.
Oh my. Face meat.
Face meat. Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org. Yeah.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Lower Vitaion Canon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPower 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except for governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
That's my radio voice, Julie.
Banny is a pocket puss.
How's your dog, Barney?
That's really, really creeping me out. Barney's fine. He's just a pocket puss.
He's like a cat, your dog.
Yeah, he is. Like, he's like a closeted cat. He can't really come out, but like he's like a closeted little cat, our dog.
We were talking during the break about how cats and dogs, like, they don't care if you're famous. They prefer if you're not. I think cats probably prefer that you're like lonely and don't have any dates and lie in bed and eat chocolate and pet them. I really think that cats would probably prefer that you're dying. They would love you most if you were bedridden and just petting them.
Lovely. Lovely.
Was there not? I saw a thing before and it was like some old folks' home and they had like cats and the cat would always spend more time with someone that was going to die. Yeah.
Death cat.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
So Katie worries when she's ill and the dog's story, all over her and she always gets freaked out. She goes, check, something's wrong with me.
I always get really freaked out, but there's a funny story. There's a guy that lives down on the in the bottom of our building downstairs and
He's not very well,
this guy. He like lost some of his brain in like an accident and his head looks kind of caved in. It's weird. Oh, that is really creeping me out. So this guy's kind of he doesn't keep too well. And me and Barney kept going past his door and Barney kept like stopping and like trying to lie down and I was convinced the guy was like dead.
You thought he was dead in his house because
yeah, Barney so that's just a little story, a little tidbit.
That's how serious you take little daft things.
I know, I do. I overemphasize them in my mind. But no, the man is alive and well. So long may he live.
I think the death cat idea has been debunked that cats actually know when people are going to die. I think it's that people who are dying in an old folks home, they tend to like be the person that they give like an electric heating pad to because they're ill.
So the cat's like,
cat's like, oh, warm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It's probably death just cat. In an old folks home.
Death cat. Death cat.
Yeah. That'd be a good name for a band.
Death cat.
Yeah. So I get tests. So we had to give our cats away because I thought I was allergic to them. And I gave them, and I can't get them back. I gave them that to... sucks. A family that has a farm in Douglas, Wyoming. It's about a half hour, 45 minutes from here. And so they are now barn cats with a family that has young children that were really excited to have two more cats.
Oh.
So I can't ask for them back. I could probably go visit them sometime. But so Thursday, a week from today, I'm getting allergy tests, and I'm going to actually find out if I'm allergic to cats. And if I'm not, we are going to immediately bag our legal limit of cats. And that's not.
What is the legal limit?
Three. This is kind of funny. In our town, it's illegal to have more than three cats in your home in the city.
That's not right.
Now,
that's,
I'd be willing to break that. But the thing is, that's kind of my legal limit, too. Like, my personal legal limit. I really
is that
think
as much as you can take?
Yeah, that's as much as I can take. And, you know, actually, I've heard that if you're a good cat parent and, you know, the vet vouches for you and stuff, they'll give you like six or seven cats at the city pound here. They just want to be able to, like, you know, if someone's got 50 cats and their house is filthy, they want to be able to go in and protect the cats from themselves. I don't know what I think about animal hoarders, man. I don't know how that libertarian. I guess in a libertarian paradise, someone would buy them. I'd be like, hey, I'll give you $1,000 each for them. No, but then that would encourage cat breeding.
But the big animal charities here, they don't get any government funding.
Yeah, the ones here,
they're
Dogs
totally
Trust,
independent.
SSPCA.
The RSPCA, all those kind of things, they get absolutely no government funding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They are just private charities that help, and they're the only ones that we have.
I honestly don't care about discussions that people always want to have. Not saying you're going to have this, but like,
oh, no,
the discussions of, like, what would you do about foster children in the lack of a government? I'm like, it's like, that's not my problem. I don't have kids. I got a vasectomy in 1999. Yeah. I don't have to answer that question. I've done my part.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the thing,
people,
you know, when people say, if heroin was legal tomorrow, everyone would be on heroin. You go, would you be on heroin? And the person will go, no. And you go, well, neither would I. So,
ask me.
You know. So what's the point? Yeah.
Would you?
Yes.
Are you bitten?
I'd probably get it when I'm really sick with the flu. It'd make me feel better. Yeah,
I would probably do it when I'm like if I was ever diagnosed with like a terminal illness.
Yeah, yeah,
I would
for sure.
Probably just go on the junk. That was
junk.
I would just be like, bye.
Yeah, I don't think
that's a strategy.
I don't think I'd want to take it now at all with my decreased lung capacity. I don't think I want to take something that slows my breathing and heart rate. I think that could be fatal.
But I wanted to talk about the cats. How do you feel, Michael, about house cats? Do you
I feel great.
Do your cats sort of roam around outside and stuff and come back in, or are they house cats?
Well, Charlie, here's the thing. Like, the reason we had to give them to someone that would make them barn cats, our cats were unadoptable. We found someone who was a friend of my wife's boss, friend of a friend, ranch people, who through the church, who would adopt them. They were unadoptable because Charlie was 17. That's like 96 in human. And she was overweight, so she was a really fat old lady. And Peanut was 7 and really cute and probably adoptable, except that Peanut is insane. And really shy and really demanding of attention, but really likes Charlie. So they'll be fine out in a barn. You know, they'll have their little cubby in the barn and they're doing okay, I'm sure. But, and Charlie probably isn't going to be around too many more years. 17 is really old, but she's pretty healthy considering, you know, for 17, but, yeah, so we had to do that. There was, you know, if they'd gone to the shelter, they never would have gotten adopted. But Charlie was an indoor-outdoor cat, but was so old that, like, she didn't roam the neighborhood. She would go out in our enclosed backyard. You've seen video of my backyard. I sent you that video of me playing you guys
with
on
your
the radio.
Playing us, No, that was awesome,
You know, the funny thing is, since that happened, like, I think that station is off the air. I think that they've just stopped broadcasting, but that's probably for the best. I was always nervous about
another one will crop up.
I was always nervous about being on in my hometown. I really was.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want my neighbors to figure out.
It's quite freeing here. I have to say that knowing that
Like, there probably are people in the UK listening to this, but
Death Cat.
It's not like everyone.
Death Cat.
It's not like
oh, it's back. Sends chills up my spine.
Why? Why do you don't like Sangeeta?
I don't know. It's
she's
it's
Indian.
That, it's I'm not racist about it. It's just the noise.
Okay, like, so how can not, you be racist I'm not about being a robot?
That's racist. That's racist.
Oh, I'm racist. I'm a racist.
Yeah, she says things funny. She says anarcho is anarcho. Which we decided that's why there's a Mexican wrestler now.
That's like
named
Nacho's.
Anarcho. Yes.
Anarcho.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
I hacked your computer this morning. That was kind of fun. I did some spooky voodoo.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
It fixed things. So.
Yeah, it did. If people notice, like, there used to be a weird background noise with you guys, and this is a teaching hospice. So, hospice, you know, it actually, like, I've kind of set my room up. Like, before I got sick, I decided that, so I took this flat screen TV we had in the basement. That's like, you know, giant. It's like, you know, 3 feet by 2.5 feet, like a big, you know, media center kind of screen that we had in the basement for like the exercise room that we never use. So I brought it up and put it in my room. So when I'm lying in my bed, I can see this computer like up. It's up high. It's like 4 feet above the ground, awesome. Like a hospital room. And that was before I got sick. So, like, I set this room up like a hospice before it became a hospice. And and I'm trying to get all the fiends up to speed and stuff. And, like, we've been having dropouts with Fiend Phone, but you notice we're not having any tonight. It's because we're connecting with the Comrex to GCN, but we're connecting you guys to me with Fiend Phone. There seems to be some problem connecting. Like, I bought a computer and sent it to GCN, and it's at GCN. And it's good for using, like, for Ben Stone doing the weekend shows because I can't, but anyway, because he doesn't have a Comrex, so but sometimes it has dropouts. But I'm realizing it's less that computer and more like none of the fiends have really kick butt computers. Like, I team viewered into your computer, I was controlling your desktop and being spooky,
you were modified
spooky voodoo with it. Yeah, Katie was against it. Like, I would have gotten rid of that frying bacon sound your mixer had like 2 months ago, but Katie didn't want me to team viewer. Dan and I went behind your back.
No, it's just Dan.
Yeah,
no, so it's fine. Dan sort of said to me, and I went, okay, let's do it then, because if it betters the quality of what's going out, then okay. Because
I could,
you know,
I love you guys.
It has worked.
Voices and talking, but I had trouble listening to the shows you were on because not everyone probably was bothered by this, but I'm a stickler for perfection, and you guys had this like distant frying bacon. Like, it sounded like your roommate was frying bacon in the shower in the same room or something.
Kevin?
maybe that was the problem.
There's no Kevin. There's no roommate frying. No.
Is Barney frying bacon in the shower? Yeah.
Barney, have you been frying bacon?
That might have been what was happening.
Yeah.
A lot of bacon going missing.
Yeah.
No, basically my thing about TeamViewer was I was a little bit uncomfortable with it, but I'm over it and it does sound better. But the thing about our computers is they're really bad computers.
Well, we're getting there. So basically, like, all we had to do was, your mixer was just using like the default USB drivers in Windows, mm-hmm. and we had to download from the Behringer site, the Windows 8, 64-bit, drivers and install them. And then it works great now. And it like actually shows up with the name of the mixer in Fiend Phone now, right? Instead of just USB generic, whatever. So so there's a tip, news you can use, people who use Fiend Phone. But your computers are horrible. They're actually like Windows 8, 64-bit with 2 gigabytes of RAM. Now, I think it should be a crime to sell or even give away computers with that little memory, because it's literally like the minimum you can even run Windows 8 64-bit on. And I know they were free, but we're going to get you more. You hang out with me long enough, I'll tell you what to get. You'll go into debt, but you'll sound great. That's the Freedom Fiends. It's really not into debt. Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
So I got a fortune cookie fortune that I hung up on my cork board here. It says, many will travel to hear you speak. But they don't really need to travel to hear me speak. And nope. I don't need to travel. I have an excuse not to travel. I don't like being sick, but I kind of like that I have an excuse now. Like, someone asked me today if I was going to some Liberty Fest, and I'm like, no. And they're like, yeah, you wimp. And I'm like, dude, I have trouble making it to the end of my driveway, you know, let alone like another state. So,
and our Joe is the strongest man in the world.
Yep.
Katie looks genuinely disturbed when that comes on.
Why does that voice bother Katie so much?
I don't know. Is that something of like a horror film?
What robot hurt you, Katie? Tell us.
No, just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some repressed robotic memory. But no, it's a creepy voice. It's just like something from should have never taken that horror film or something.
Children are sticky. Children are sticky.
They are.
Children are sticky.
They are.
Yeah.
I agree with her.
What? I didn't even get that.
Children are sticky.
All right. I'm not getting these the first
time. No, I was talking about before the break about these.
You don't need enough kebabs, man. Kebab shop.
What do you see?
We do have kebab shops. They're everywhere here.
What are the Indians? Are kebabs Indian?
Actually Greek, yeah. But like a lot of the kebab shops we have here are usually sort of tandoori sort of kebab shops, sort of run by sort of Pakistanis.
Turks will stab Turkish.
Well, not all of them, but
not the guys here that like run the kebab.
I was
shop.
In They're Berlin when I first went to Berlin. First time I went to Europe, was with my band Bomb and in 1990, and like we show up at this club. They put us up in the apartment above the club and they're like, man, so-and-so from the band Lubricated Goat, the Australian band, played here last night. Lubricated Goat. They went out for a kebab and some Turk stabbed the singer. I was like, what?
Oh my.
And they were like, really? They're using Turk as like the N-word here. And
oh dear.
And they also in Germany, if you carry your possessions in a plastic bag, like a garbage bag, or like, you know, like the bag you get cigarettes in the store in, like if you're carrying all your things in those bags, like I often do, they call that a Turkish handbag in Germany. And if you're carrying all of your possessions over your shoulder in a garbage bag, they call it a Turkish suitcase.
What's going on with the Germans?
Yeah.
It's so PC.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of it, but I don't know much.
Probably, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. You know,
that's racist. That's racist.
Racist, yeah.
It's racist, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's so weird. No, I wanted to say about these computers. I don't want people to think that we're cheapskates.
You're
but
cheapskates.
Yeah, they are.
We really, are cheap. We are cheapskates. Well, we I mean, who are you trying to kid here?
Yeah. I mean, well, no, but they were free. Giving away better computers than you guys have. And if you were in America, I'd be giving you computers too. I just don't want to ship them over there because it would take months. And
oh, it's too much. I'm out of them now.
But I shipped. But I shipped memory. I gave memory this week to Ben Stone, Randy England, and Derek J, so they could get more RAM in their computers, so FiendPhone will work better, and just so their computing experience will be better. And I gave Lou a netbook, and I put. It had 4 gigs of RAM in it, but I upgraded it to 8 gigs of RAM and shipped Lou a netbook. And and I'm trying to find out how much memory MK Lords has in her computer. And if it's not enough, I'm going to get her some. So I'm just, it's like, and you get some memory, and you get some memory. Look under your seat, you get some memory.
And memory for everyone.
Yeah, so if anyone wants to make a donation to the Fiends to help me offset my couple $1,000 I'm spending this month on top of medical expenses and radon abatement. Man, that radon thing is just creepy. Like, our house is so perfect and wonderful. And then I just find out, like, the basement's full of radioactive gas. That's creepy, man.
Is there something you can do about it, though?
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Yeah, it costs like $1,500. Which is expensive, but it's like, I thought it would be like $30,000 or something. But it's more complicated than just pumping the air from the basement to the outside, but it's kind of that combined with other things.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's people that are licensed to do it.
there's a lot of buildings here that were built with asbestos, and that's like a big thing here. And I've even worked in places that have had asbestos.
Our school had it.
And they've been told actually not to remove it because that would make everything worse, just to leave it.
A lot of people in America who are on oxygen like me, it's from having worked with asbestos.
Yeah. Not surprised.
All right, we'll be back.
Market.
I think they got rid of most of the asbestos in America now. Now they're dealing with the radon because we're the uranium capital, us and Russia. Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Freedom Fiends. So I sent you an article. You guys want to read it?
Yes.
We'll discuss it.
Yeah,
it's just wrong.
This is wrong, man. It's so wrong.
Our internet's being weird.
My internet, a while back I asked for donations to help pay for my extra internet connection. I have DSL and cable. I want people to know who made donations that without that DSL, there'd be no show tonight. We'd be off because my cable is down. We're only connecting with the DSL now. So it's good to have that backup, man. It's worth it. Yep. It's all nice. Right. Go ahead and read about cats and how they hate humanity and want to see it fail. Because I agree.
Oh.
This is a weird article. So
is California's drought making cats horny?
Yes.
Okay. So see, what's the gist of this then?
Yeah.
So a correlation between...
Correlation does not imply causation. Isn't that what George Bush said?
I don't know. About weapons of mass destruction. I don't pay much attention to that, man. I don't know.
So they could be friskier. That's kind of weird.
Michael,
correlation does not imply causation. That's it. Go ahead.
Have you ever given your cats catnip?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we... when we had cats, we generally had catnip. Now, dogs don't lap nip, do they?
No.
Lions
I don't think so.
Go on YouTube and search lions and catnip. There are some
not right now,
because
I'll end up laughing far too much.
But and also your 2 gigabit RAM.
It can't handle it, yeah.
How did you end up with free computers? We went to a break before you told that.
Okay, so yeah, so we're really poor, right? So the only way really for us to have gotten computers was for phone contracts. So we went to a local phone shop and I was like, what are your phone deals where you get a free gift? And they were like, well, it's this one or this one. And one of them came with a laptop and I was like, well, I'll get that one. And it was a moderately okay phone. I think it was a BlackBerry phone and I had it for a couple of years.
You got sober.
And then I got you get like the laptop free, but the laptop's only worth about, I mean, it goes retail, but it goes retail at £200. That's what those
Yeah, which means in America it would go retail for $200.
Yeah, which means it costs probably about like $10.
It costs like $27 to make, by the children in India that make them. Sangeeta's
So it's so that's why we ended up with these two. One of them, like, they were actually both for my contracts, so for my two phones I've had in the last 5 years. So that's how we've ended up with these bad computers. And even the guy that was doing the thing for us, remember Dan, he was like, you do realize this is not a good computer? And I was like, yes.
One laptop for every anarchist.
Yes.
In this house, one laptop per anarchist.
Yes.
See this? Can I go back to this cat article, right?
Yeah.
Because it's saying that the cats are nihilists who would like nothing better than to watch California shrivel up and sink into the ocean.
Yeah, that's what the cat
would think. Well, they laugh like so many funny Nietzsches, even that's if it great. Means they perish as well.
Furry,
I think it's a bit unfair to Nietzsche, to be fair.
not only do cats and lions like catnip, another thing that cats like, house cats like, that lions love, boxes. You know, like you get a present for your cat, they're more interested in the box it comes in. There's search lions and cardboard boxes on YouTube. Like they'll take a refrigerator box, a cardboard box that a refrigerator comes in and throw it to a lion. And he'll run over to it and jump in it and sit in it and claim it, just like a house cat, man.
That's so fun.
Yeah,
there's a video of us. I saw a video of someone playing fetch with a duck, and for some reason, it's pretty much interesting.
That's funny.
I liked it, man.
I enjoy animal humor.
See, fetch,
I enjoy
fetch
animals
is,
acting like people.
See, that's... for me, with like the dog, right? Fetch is good for a while, but it gets very old very quickly for me.
He
but
also
not for him.
Knows what's going on, and he doesn't bring it back.
Yeah.
After a while, he just goes, "And you're just going to throw it again."
It's a very binary game. It's kind of like, you know, there's no strategy. Yeah. It's just you did it and it's done. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no way you can jazz it up.
Unless you're like in a park and you're thinking you're going to try and hit someone, but kid on, it was an accident.
Yeah, our dog's not
one laptop for every anarchist.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Are you going to list Sangeeta as a co-host now?
I think so. I think she should be. I was.
You could do a show with
like
just her. That
I
would
could.
Be so funny.
You know, that would be really funny. There's like 20 voices on this, and I only like Sangeeta and James. James is the American. Sangeeta is one of the... There's actually a Scottish one, but it's like... it's indecipherable. Maybe you could understand.
Racist.
It.
Racist.
One laptop for every anarchist.
Yeah, James
one
sounds like
for
really,
every
really
anarchist.
White. I call him Mike from marketing, but let me try the Scottish one.
Try the Scottish one. I'll see if I can get
all right,
it.
Her name's Fiona.
One laptop for every anarchist. One laptop for every anarchist.
Yeah.
That's not bad,
one
actually.
One laptop for every anarchist.
Okay, here's Alan. He's Australian.
One laptop for every anarchist.
That's bad. Okay.
No, that's rubbish.
That's bad.
UK. This is Catherine.
One laptop for every anarchist.
That's bad, too.
She's rubbish.
So, like, some of them are just rubbish, man. Fiona's pretty good, though, I think.
One laptop for every anarchist.
Yes.
That sounds like people I know.
Yeah.
That sounds like someone like
I probably know someone named Fiona, too, don't you? Here's one in South African.
Fiona's a big word here. A big word? Fiona's a big name here.
South African. Tessa. Here we go.
One laptop for every anarchist.
Anarchist.
Nope.
Oh, there's another Indian, too. Let me do this Indian.
One laptop for every anarchist.
She sounds
insane. That was a bit too racist for me.
I really like Sangeeta.
One laptop for every anarchist.
That sounds like when I get tech support.
Do you know, that is fun.
Sangeeta's more commanding.
Yeah. Yep.
Did you ever watch... Now, see, when you said tech support, Michael, I'm curious. This is totally off topic. Did you ever watch something with Squirrely? It's Squirrely the Squirrel, and it was like...
What are you
it was a skit what? Show. It was like a cartoon skit show.
No, but I watched the IT crowd, crowd.
Yeah, that's what I thought she was going to say as well.
No,
I'm surprised.
Dan reminds me of the guy, the Irish guy in there. What's his
Chris
name?
Chris O'Dowd. Chris O'Dowd. Oh, that's his real name. He's been in a bunch of movies.
Don't racially oppress me, Green.
Yeah. I'm not even Irish, though. Not family
sound
are,
like
not
him.
Me.
Is he really Irish?
So? Yeah. He's
Irish.
Yeah.
You can tell. I can't tell.
Yeah, can you not tell?
No.
No, he's incredibly.
No.
Well, I think he overdoes it a bit with his accent in the IT crowd. I think that's the point.
Yeah. I would have no
idea. I've seen him in American.
I would have no idea that Katie ever lived in Canada. I'll say that.
No, but you wouldn't really know because I moved to Scotland when I was 11, so nobody would really know.
Yeah. Although when you go to Canada, your voice sort of unconsciously flips into Canadian.
Just go back
it's
and
weird.
Forth, though. You just sort of. Yeah. I don't pay much attention to what I talk like.
It's like you're being
one laptop for every anarchist.
There's no Canadian voice.
Thank you, Sangeeta.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that is one laptop for every child thing? There's a thing
that,
it's a really good idea that turned into a really horrible idea. It was this idea to like create a laptop that could be made for under $100 that ran on Linux, that ran with like solar power, that ran like could network in countries that had no internet infrastructure. And they made them, they designed them, and like, you know, tech people donated their time to design them, and then they started making them, and then they raised money to buy them and ship them to countries where children did not have computers. And then that's a great idea. And then a bunch of people said, like the UN got involved, and all of a sudden they were like taxing nations to pay for them. You know? So that's a bad idea. But there's a joke on Archer. You ever watch that show, Archer?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, it's...
We haven't
it's,
got there
really
yet.
You really should get there. It's an animated show that's really funny. And there's a... Oh, there's a... There's a, his baby's Scottish. His baby is the wee baby Seamus.
The wee baby Seamus. Am I going to be racially oppressed by this?
Is Seamus a Scottish name? Or can be, right?
Seamus.
It's an Irish name.
Okay, maybe he's Irish. I can't tell. That's racially oppressing.
Are you sure
you,
that's
but
an Irish name?
Yep,
then?
I'm 100%
the wee baby
sure
Seamus. Okay. But there's a billionaire in there who's a philanthropist, and he's listing all the things he donates money to, and one of them is one laptop for every child soldier. And he said, which unfortunately quickly became 500 laptops for every warlord.
Is that surprising, is it?
Yeah.
No, I've heard about people talking about Archer, but I've not watched it.
You gotta find it. You gotta find it.
There's so many.
Although I don't know if your little 2 gigabits of RAM memory could even like deal with a torrent, can it?
Yeah, it can deal with torrents.
What did you guys have before that? If this was like your big free upgrade, what were your computers before that?
Oh my! It was.
Oh, we have an old Dell.
Like desktop. A big tower, sort of.
Like a big tower, yeah, a big desktop tower. But it's actually been pimped out a few times by a good friend of ours. So, it's kind of dying now. It's not really with us as such. It runs there for the internet.
You know, it's like when you search, when you look at a program or operating system, and you Google like minimum requirements to run it, And they give you like for Windows 8, 64-bit, which you have on that computer, the minimum RAM is 2 gigabits. And I'm like, the minimum RAM, I mean, like, generally for most programs, they put like the minimum RAM it'll run on is like, 256K or something. I mean, running an operating system like Windows 8, 64-bit on 2 gigabits of RAM is like, I can't even think of the analogy for it, but it's just criminal. It's like, and I can't believe that like Toshiba Satellite, which are generally good computers. I've had Toshiba Satellites that kick butt. I mean, I have a laptop I barely use and I never leave the house. I just use it for lying in bed in my teaching hospice room, looking up at the big screen on the wall. That's like, I mean, it has like 16 gigs of RAM, man. It's screaming. It's so fast. It's like I could edit film on it.
There's definitely stuff I can do. I mean, as far as I understand it, Michael, is it not that you can buy more? I mean,
you need more RAM.
You can
I told
buy,
you
like,
what to get.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
I told you exactly what to do. You need to spend £50, and you need to ask your computer friends. Yeah, it'd be £20.
Don't you listen?
Yeah. It'd be £20 here.
I know. See, that's really annoying. Like whenever you look at the prices. On that note, though, I mean we actually set up, though, their Amazon affiliate link.
That tax is Satan. That tax is Satan.
Oh!
Yeah.
That tax is Satan.
Yeah.
I know.
Surely all tax.
That tax, for people that don't know, you have like a national income or a sales tax there. It's called a VAT tax. And it's like 30%.
Yeah. 20.
And at 20. And it's only on things that are 20. Considered luxury. Like, I guess the socialists of the UK think that, like...
Oh, I have another...
You only need 2 gigs of RAM.
Come back.
You only need 2 gigs of RAM, so anything more than that is a luxury. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a funny story about...
Cool.
About RAM.
RAM.
When we come back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Go to the bidet.
Bidet to you.
All right. What do you got, people?
Well, before the break, I was talking about a tax that is ridiculous, and I want to touch on it. Basically, we have 20%. Flat rate VAT in this country, VAT tax.
Tax.
Okay.
Now, is it only on luxuries?
Whatever. Yes. Well, this is the thing. It's supposed to be on luxury items, right? So somebody somewhere decides what that.
It's the central scrutinizer sits there with a, with a stamp and says luxury or necessity. Yeah. Like the Soviet.
Exactly.
Someone in some Soviet bureaucracy somewhere in England. Yeah.
Yes, and ladies' products for that time of
tampons.
The month come under the tampons.
Tampons
that comes under apparently. currently under the VAT thing anyway as a luxury
item. Come on, man.
And this has enraged people.
What are you supposed to do? Like, stay home and bleed into a bucket?
I'm just like, okay. So basically,
can't say that on the radio.
You know, really? I buy these products monthly, and I don't mind doing that. It doesn't bother me. Like, it's not one of these things I get up on a thing about. Well, men don't have to spend, like, I don't know what the equivalent is in dollars, but I think per month I spend about £2, so maybe about $3 a month.
Okay, thanks, sir.
I'm just saying, like, that's what I spend on that necessity. Yeah. And it doesn't bother me. It's just part of life.
You know,
and
I always...
that are going off, like... But there's like the reason I'm upset about this is because there's like a petition. People are really putting energy into stopping this tax, which would end up probably being pennies. And I know that might, you know, add up to a significant amount, you know, fine, whatever. But I mean, this is just ridiculous. It's
What's
one of these
ridiculous?
Really,
that people are complaining whole, about pennies?
Yeah, that people are like...
The whole idea of who decides what's a luxury as well and what's not.
That's ridiculous. Like,
but I mean,
that's
the whole VAT tax thing is ridiculous, though. But the thing is, people are getting so their panties in a bunch about this.
Yeah, like, I have advice for women young men that want to be with ladies. Okay, first thing is actually have tampons on hand. Okay. If you're going to have ladies in your house and want them to hang around, have a few different kinds. Ask a lady what to have. Have them on hand. Always have them on hand. The other thing is, have a really good bed. Ladies don't want to be on that ratty old futon, man. Invest in a good bed. You know, like, get a good guitar, get a good gun, get a good bed. You got to do it. This is a guy who's been there, man. Yeah. All right.
So there you go. There's a bit of life lesson for you.
Life's advice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Katie got us a good bed from like a...
I got us a really good bed. It was a really nice king size hotel. It was a reject from a hotel.
It's not as bad as it sounds.
It sounds horrible.
Right?
It sounds like you need to break out the Luminol and see like what happened.
No, no. Basically, what?
No, it wasn't scuzzy.
I don't really know what happened, but everything was still packaged up. It was like basically a company had sort of set up, trying to set up a hotel. They had bought a lot of beds, and it went off
in business. Their hopes and dreams didn't work out.
Yeah, but it made, you know, it made for a cheap bed, though.
Their failure.
And I got in there.
their sad failure became your boon. Yeah.
My king size niceness is worth it. You know, and I got in there and I
love how
it,
a couple of guys showed up in an unmarked white van.
Yeah, they just sort of unloaded it and I went, is there anyone to help me upstairs
this
with
the radio?
This?
You should keep their number, man. But those guys might be able to help you if you ever have to, like, you know, dispatch a burglar with a golf club and you don't want to call the bobbies.
The bobbies.
Yes.
The police are everywhere these days as well. I've noticed, like,
they're
the sirens. Like, it's not just me. Like, people have commented. Just like people that don't think that the police are bad, like people that just wouldn't even notice have actually commented and said the pigs are out in force.
I didn't say that. You can't say that on radio.
No. Can I not say that? Am I not allowed to say that? Dan's shaking his head as if
I'm not shaking my head.
I'm not sure what to do.
I think we need Sangeeta to come in here and sort this all out. So I'm starting to fall my bits here at the end.
You just had to say that, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah.
But she's been the voice of reason in this show. She's been the only one who's consistently...
She's been consistently. She's called me a racist. And she keeps saying things about a wrestler.
I don't know what that
Redemption
means. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. You're going to fear Sangeeta for the rest of your life, aren't you?
Sangeeta. Is that a name? That is a name, isn't
it? Yeah, I've met people named that.
I'm sure
it is. The Bigs Man. Smash the state. F the Bigs Man.
Yeah.
Smash the state. F the Bigs Man. Smash the state.
Yeah.
I love her.
I would never say that. That's her. The opinions of Sangeeta do not reflect on this station, this network, or this show. Yeah.
You're just going to see what you can get away with this, aren't you?
Yeah.
F the Bigs Man. Smash the state.
Yep. Worms.
Worms.
But fuck the Bigs Man. Smash the state.
You could always say it wasn't your fault. It was her that said it. It wasn't you.
Yeah, I did. That's fun, actually. We should do a show. I'll do one with Sangeeta.
What did you
My favorite black metal band is called Death Cat. My favorite black metal band is called Death Cat.
Favorite? She can't say that.
Her favorite? Favorite.
I spelled it correctly. Ridiculous. Favorite.
I know.
Yeah.
But it does. It looks like favorite.
Yeah.
Like the word. Yeah. That's difficult.
The best black metal band is called Death Cat. The best black metal band is called Death Cat.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. What if you spelled words like they sound?
I had to do that for her to say Davi right. It was like D-A-W-V-I-Y or something.
Davi. Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, that's funny.
Which is funny because I think Davi's an Indian name, isn't it?
I would say D-A-V-I. Davi. Yeah.
Davi. Davi.
Devendra. It's usually Dev or Dev, but Davi, I don't know. Davi. Actually. I think I'm thinking of Dev.
That was D-A-V-I, and this is D-A-W-V-Y.
Davi.
Davi. It's more like how
Davi.
You say
Davi.
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 Sounds British. Davi. Yes.
Davi.
Sounds Russian to me.
Yes.
Right. Let's walk the dog, bruh.
Yes. All right. Take care, kids. I had a great time with
you guys tonight.
You too, Michael.
I had fun. Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoy either one of you alone, but I really enjoy both of you together on this show.
We are a good team.
Just quit your job and go on the dole and just be on all the time.
Oh, okay. Can't beat them, join them.
So buy the memory upgrade for both computers and then quit your job and go on the dole.
Oh, well, I'll work on it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'll see what I can do. You too, Michael. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.